already talked. And I've brought it up a few times for Bonneville Fargo to assess marine mammal loss of fallback fish. So we'll talk about it. What are these?
This you mean just of the RT fish?
Just of the RT fish, yeah, because reascension doesn't get you survival. We need to look at what are predation. We need to look at how we can assess its predation losses. Who?
I mean, because have you talked with Matt Kiefer at all?
No.
And that was one of the things that U of I was looking at with the data, and they've been looking at that for.
Well, how do they know that the fish was?
Well, they don't.
Yeah, but can we could if we had the right tang? It may be a DST type of tang or
something. Change the temperature.
Yeah, I don't know that would. Well, I don't think that'll work because of the way sea lions rip apart fish.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking a tag that actually pops to the surface and floats. You know that. Some of these
quits working.
These seal tags for killer whales got me thinking about
TDRs,
something like that, and that may be a way to assess whether fish has been ripped up and now the tag is loose. And if the temperature goes up, then you know you get a problem. You get predation in that too.
Pressure tag might
there's a couple ways
to test
that.
Yeah.
Pressure.
Pressure may work too. If you know, that's
pressure.
What I was thinking. As it pops up, the pressure is going to tell you.
Tag,
and if the tag can transmit that to a
non-positively buoyant,
on a land-based antenna, then you've got
give
the tag back.
And then the tag.
I don't need to talk about it here. I just want to say that we do want to get a handle on predation and fallback fish at Bonneville Dam. Would be one of the issues we'd like to look at. So what I really want to talk about is when are these SRWG discussions going to happen so we can talk about them.
Yeah, those need to be scheduled.
They need to be scheduled. That'll be one.
Well, fortunately, we have time to get that done for next year.
Tank and sprayers or
all of them?
All the above. All. So, yeah, this would be for,
it'll be springers for pinniped.
Yeah, springers. And also, I think we're also going to do steelhead, won't we?
Yeah, I just don't.
Yeah, I don't think we're not worried about
that. Yeah, we will do steelhead though for the other purposes.
For the others.
Yeah, this is going to be a big study this year.
It will be.
Are we going to get those AFF mods legal in there?
Yeah, we have to have the AFF mods. All that stuff will be talked about. That's a figure way thing. So no, that's all I know. Tammy? Next meeting.
Okay. Well, that's the question. I guess that needs to be brought up. Is there was talk about. Since the Corps basically, Walla Walla, shimmied open that thing of basically allowing them to do modification of the telephone box at Ice Harbor for their adult studies, why would we do the same thing at Bonneville? Because we're going to be having a lot more fish than we've ever had on the AFF in a long time. And if you have to have the AFF for this tagging study, then you need to make the modifications. Yes.
What don't you want to care? Shall we
let the
branch fall into the river?
Tammy? Tammy, did I say this was... Tammy. Go have a donut for a quick second. Did I say this was going to be O&M funded?
CRFM
funds. There you go. Hey,
thank you.
Walla Walla did for telephone box in Ice Harbor. Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. So I'm going, if they can...
A literal telephone box?
Well, what are you?
Have you seen it? It might as well be one. Clark Kent could use that sucker.
We need to get, Tammy, we need to make sure that the memo I wrote for we had a month ago, everybody I think needs to get that, I guess. I can send it out at FPOM. When I wrote it for FPOM, the recommendation is that FPOM seek these changes, and we had three levels of changes, and the second level is what I'd like to see us go for before these studies are done in 13. Those are doable, with project support and CRFM dollars and CritFic dollars too, which Jeff Fryer has mentioned they've got some money. So I mean, what we're talking about is fairly minor
equipment.
It's not a huge thing, but I think it'd make a big difference in probably post handling survival of that dam. So
that's what we're going to do.
Needs to get into the mix. People need to start thinking about that. The right people need to get
that.
Right, I think that CRFM is appropriate for some of those fixes, and we're not talking about
I'm bringing it up here.
I know.
Yeah,
that's
what I'm bringing up. Some small changes. That's where survival stuff is for reducing the corn by 62%. It's like, sweet.
Thank you, Tom.
That's what I'm here for.
Sit here until you tell me you want to say something, but I'll say it.
We're not doing any of this.
No, between the two of us, we can usually try to remember stuff.
Crazy.
Can I borrow that button?
I don't know.
Take the batteries out of it.
on mute.
See, Tammy, I was here to help.
Jeez.
It must be a bad Friday.
She really jumped on you, didn't she?
I know. It's like being at home all over again.
It's all on tape, too. That's good.
And I don't
know. You're way down there.
I was just worried she hadn't had to eat anything for a while. I was going to say, some hypoglycemic. So I was saying, have a donut, eat something for a minute.
Yeah, I've had a Washington Shore.
That's what I have to do with my other two women in my life.
That's
I know.
Hey. Primary.
Because Sammy has to listen to all this again. Damn it.
One thing I wanted to hit on for lamprey studies while we're in this realm is the Chris Peary was working with us to get the, we're kind of putting together a coordination form on installation of kind of conventional video and Didson at a few locations in the John Day North and the Dallas North ladders up in the exit section area. It's one of the study objectives for this year is to, you know, we've been looking at picket leads. One of the objectives for this year is to see if there was an alternative location in the ladder where you could count lamprey. So be looking for that in the next couple of days.
Counting lamprey, okay.
Which would help some of your long-term considerations for trying to get rid of count stations at various locations.
There you go.
Like that.
So be looking for that. It'll be a long one, lots of pictures and stuff.
Okay.
Next one is the John Day North ladder improvements, which construction's ongoing, and the contractor's scheduled to be out of the ladder March 9th. I think as of yesterday, they were about 8 days behind schedule, mostly due to weather issues.
No, mainly due to construction issues. So,
okay.
So I've done a few looking at my BlackBerry to see if they provided me the latest schedule I asked for a couple of days ago. So a little background. So we have had two partnering sessions with this contractor, and at the last partnering session, I brought up this issue, the 8 days behind schedule, and then the head of construction was like, "Well, we need to get back on schedule, guys, and you need to prove it to us that you can make March 9th. Because, you know, and it doesn't, you know, you say, well, March 9th, why March 9th? Well, we have several weeks of commissioning we have to do with everybody out of the ladder, pumps running up and down and full force and whatever, before we can get that ladder up and say it's up and running. So so I've got full support from construction, head of construction. Sladen's been put on notice that they need to provide. And the, luckily, there are 8 weather days in the contract. So if they don't need the 8 weather days, then we might squeeze right in. But I told them I had to see the schedule. I wanted to see them maybe March 9th. And I have not seen it yet. I've asked several times. I just asked John Easton again. No comment back yet. So that's this, you know, I'll keep you posted, but we're doing everything we can to put pressure on them. So, yeah, we've had some struggles, and I won't go into the details on the field.
So you're thinking you're going to need until April 9 to get
stuff
done?
No, I'm holding firm.
I mean for your own.
So March 9th, and then you're thinking it's going to take you.
Commissioning, water it back up.
And the commissioning.
So the ladder will be running after March 9th, but you'll be going to be going through commissioning process at that time?
And we want it.
Can't touch.
To be on off.
Yeah, so we have to have electrical and Steve Slinker, you know, Steve, go in and actually get that all working, you know, however it needs to work, and that takes time. And they've asked for March 9th on to do that. So if they come back and say, we're not going to make it until date after March 9th, that affects Joe and Steve, and Steve and Joe are going to balk, because they balked already, saying we need this time. And these are the things we have to do. And so that's, but my goal is to have that ladder up and running April 1st. So, you know, that's when it's supposed to be up. That's what we've
absolutely can't be later than a spill start.
Well, and the fact that we have the other ladder down, too.
Well, yeah, the various parts of the.
Right. So,
we have a couple week overlap, and then we may have another couple day overlap while we're getting the turbine pump up and running the other side.
So that's the biggest issue. But the second issue is that. What I wanted to chat with you about was they're going to, once they have the ladder up, they're going to want to demo all of their equipment out of there
the week of March 11th. So with the ladder operating.
Right. And so what I basically I said that all of the gratings on top of the ladder have to be covered so that nothing falls down into the ladder on itself. But anyway, I wanted to check with you guys to balance, you know, any concerns you have about them taking out equipment that after the ladder's up and
specifically the way the, you know what the access issues are like there, the way they have to get the cranes out is actually by helicopter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so during that commissioning time after March 9th, you know, they'd be bringing in big helicopter lifting out cranes, and we actually got asked by, you know, Harry Galanopoulos after the project whether we had any major problems, but I don't think they have any other option for getting the equipment out. But you know, noise issues involving having well, I mean, you're also going to have the pumps moving up and down anyway. So I mean, it's going to be a weird ladder for the month of March, anyhow. But thought I'd notify you guys that we're going to have some noisy business going on
in March. March, if there's no spill, and you know, if we have the other side running.
Oh wait a minute.
Hey. Well, part of it.
Yeah, so.
But then there's either water running anyway, so it doesn't matter.
So the pump's job is going well. They're on schedule. Yay.
Yeah.
So they, we're trying to provide them ability to wet test by sticking in what we call transverse bulkheads in the discharge chamber itself and letting them recirculate through pump openings, so that they can be testing before March 9th.
Yeah.
So we're trying to facilitate anything Olson needs to make sure that they're up and running. We had Joe just emailed me. He said the electrical is mostly good. We have one issue with a resistor blowing out on us, but Ethan's coming back in. They were coming back this week to fix it. So, and I haven't read his email, but they asked him how the VFD commissioning went. That was like yesterday, and I haven't read it yet. So I think it went well. He said mostly well, but I didn't get to read his long letter. So that's where we're at on that. Are there any questions on the John Day North work? Okay.
No, looking good.
Okay.
Fingers crossed.
So I'm just going to let you know a bigger picture. I'm shifting out of the Lamprey program as the program manager role. It's going to shift to probably Mike and Sean because they've added more projects to me, as you can see on the list on my list here. So they need me to do projects specifically. So they're going to take on a monolith study for drainage issues. I've got Falls Creek coming on the Willamette. So I'm just letting you know that. Then also the adult studies work will shift off of me too.
To Mike.
To Mike.
Langsley doesn't do anything anyway.
What else does he have?
So, that's surprising. Anyway, stay tuned. It's supposed to happen mid February. It's the transition supposed to be.
That's what I'm doing it all. So.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions for me about my stuff?
Gotta be careful. He actually has something.
Okay, and then
in
the
my
next
life.
Person on their agenda, you say is me, but I'm not doing trash rake.
What?
No.
Who's doing trash rake then?
That's the Sylvana. That's.
You do realize.
Oh, that's Gail's doing that now?
That's Gail's job. That's not my
you do
job.
Realize that you'll. I will not retire until this is done.
That's
so.
Not very important.
This is like the third or fourth. PM and then,
are you kidding?
And I'm saying in 3 months.
Okay, 3 months. Okay.
No, there's always been a mistake. Everybody thought it was
so it's my fault.
You can bring Kranda back. I mean, Kranda could bring the. You can bring back him on contract to do this one.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Alan.
You know, if you get these last three done, I'll retire.
13, 14, 15? Yeah. You're stuck for a while there, son.
Yeah.
Just get them done. I'll retire.
Yeah, so since,
where are we?
Since Natalie's not the trash rake, and there's no one here that might know anything outside of Tom, and we know how he feels about it.
Why are you done?
So we'll just move
done?
Past that.
I was going to say, Tammy is...
Tammy could give us an update.
Tammy's a...
Oh, yeah. Tammy might be able to give us an update.
You guys could go at it again.
Yeah. Let's see another one.
I haven't heard of any further progress on the trash rake.
How about dredging? Are they dredging the entrance at least?
6,000 cubic yards or something.
Are you?
That was next week.
Okay.
But as an update, it doesn't look like we will be dredging this winter, but we are going to move forward with getting the money and a contractor in place for November of next.
You're kidding me.
So you're not going to do your corner collector work. You're going to do the dredging.
You're just sitting around.
Is it coffee break?
Next week,
smoking cigars and drinking coffee.
Conversation, I am sure. But so you will remember that Hausman said there's 6,000 cubic yards of material that we'd like to remove.
Yeah, with condom pumping out more every day.
Yeah. We think that maybe we could get 3,000 removed, but we were going to modify the contract for the guy who is doing the Bradford Island dredge work. It turns out he only has a 3-yard bucket or something.
Oh, he'd be there a while.
Yeah. So we would never get the dredging done in a timely manner.
It's work in a bucket.
So rather than spend money for him to be out there for a huge amount of time, why not just gather up the money that we need and get a contractor who will get the work done?
Because there's a good chance that we'll have problems with that system this year and fill up the entire AWS
again
and start out.
Because that was a cheap to fix anyway.
Yeah,
wasn't
no problems at all.
Right. Well, Washington Shore is coming down next winter anyway. There is a huge risk with it, and if you talk to Rarisich, he'll tell you right now we are floating those fish units every single night.
I know, and you're doing it. And this is now.
I know.
Wait till we actually have some real flows.
I thought. Well, geez.
I
love Bonneville.
This, what kind of planning is this anyway?
Then request funds and then make the repairs that are needed. So as soon as the catastrophic fails, then we can make some progress.
Oh, so we wait for catastrophic failures to fix things. Is that our new strategy?
Yes.
Good to know.
This is the U.S. government.
Yeah, I know. I'll take my monkey wrench out to Bonneville Dam more often now, I guess.
Drop it in the four bay because it went right through the unit. Then we did a nice harbor or something.
Yeah,
did a nice harbor worked pretty well.
Big crescent wrench.
That's not good, Tammy. Not good.
And hopefully there will be better news at FCOM tomorrow.
Make that happen between now and next week, okay?
What?
I want that cleared out. That four bay's got to be, those fish units need to be dredged. They need to be dredged this year.
Well, they will be dredged this year.
Season, before...
By Mother Nature.
By Mother Nature. Well, maybe not. Just be added to. I mean, with white salmon pumping out, I was just up there, and it was just chocolate milk and full of debris yet.
Yeah, I bet that thing is clearing itself out pretty well now.
Well, you're not going to appreciate the conversation we'll have next week, then. Cause
you won't appreciate the conversation.
I don't really care. I'm just going to
joke. Wow. We beat you down that bad, haven't we?
Burn.
Cut
her salary.
So why? What?
I thought you were... anyway.
Okay, so that's an F-bomb issue, and I, for one, am sure happy about that.
Oh, Lord. That's always a good sign.
Yeah, this is not good. I mean, I'm not too happy with the corner collection not being done without this. This is bad. This could put us into a tailspin.
And what else did you break?
How are you going to feel about screens going in late?
Awesome.
Well, I've already had a talk with Ben about that.
We can't spill.
Or maybe you don't take the trash bags. How about that?
How about you just take Bonneville out? Let's just get rid of it.
Why don't you just... You got those rocks in there. If you start spilling now, you might be able to just rip out the whole spillway and instantaneously you're done.
Breach the spillway and we're
there
done.
There you go. God.
Jeez, it's too old. Get rid of it. It's like an old car. And pretty soon, just nickel dimes you to death.
Just drive it out in the field.
Yes. So, done with the trash rake.
Yeah.
Sorry we brought that up. Nice timing, George. You're up. B1 Turbine Ops.
Yeah, by the way. I hope not.
I hope we do. By the way, all those B1 turbines, we found a flaw. They're all going to start breaking.
Yeah.
They need to be replaced.
Yeah, we need to replace them.
They hit the wall, not the concrete out. We can't operate that power.
There is a little bit of progress, just a little bit. B2 corner collector gatepoint. That's being constructed as we speak.
That was right. Yeah.
Laying out some pads. Actually, they moved a lot of equipment there. They're going to basically assemble it once they've assembled it, they'll we should have this project completed, at least the gateway's portion of it by the end of the month.
Okay.
That's pretty much the way it was scheduled, and I think we're on target to complete that.
Okay, yeah. And any later than that, we get into some issues, so.
Yeah, so no, I think we're going to be okay with that. Mm. I did hear some discussion about the corner collector.
Yeah, what is going on with the corner collector?
Well, the Spalding, they're not going to move. They're just going to let it rot.
Wow. There's passage rat bone.
You know, catastrophic
the walls
failure,
are eroding?
The Spalding.
Yeah, if the thing caves in, then they'll do something to fix it otherwise.
It's not that.
We had, initially, again, this is out of turn here, but we had about $1 million there to actually do a major rehab, a major fix, if you will, with the corner collector. But we weren't able to get in there for a number of reasons. I guess the corner collector had to be in use, I guess it had something to do with unit.
Unit
18.
Unit 18 dewatering has to have that running. We did that. Yeah.
Because of that, we couldn't get in there and actually do repairs if we had a corner.
Right, and we knew that. I just thought the project was going to go in and fix, you know, some of those.
So they will seal up the pit tank detector, so that we won't get.
They're still going to do that. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay. Which is what I think it said in the.
It was. Memo. Yeah.
But we've also asked the project to look at ways of rerouting the sump
protein.
So even if it's temporary, just in the winter, they hook something up to a flange and reroute that water, so that we don't have this issue.
That's good.
Again. Yeah.
Okay.
So the current plan is to take the funds were allocated for the rehab and repair and basically come up with a design, plans and specs for a comprehensive, all done sometime next year or the year after. Part of the concern, of course, is the fact that we're using CRFM dollars for what a lot of folks construe as O&M. And a lot of us think that should turned over to the O&M community, but in order for us to do that, we need to provide them, turn over something that actually works and functions the way it was designed, the way it was intended to. So again, you know, we'll take these funds, develop a nice comprehensive study that says this is how we're going to fix it, and then move forward with that.
So are you going to fix it under CRFM and then turn it over as a fully functioning system, or just have a plan that you turn over to O&M and then
the
they fix
is
it?
Is to fix it. And then turn it over.
Okay.
But we'll start up with the design.
I think that's probably the best.
I'm sorry?
That's probably the best approach.
Yeah.
Given O&M budget.
It sounds straightforward. You know, you go in there and attach it and whatnot, but that's not the case. Basically, you have large movement, different monoliths out there, so you'll continue to have this problem unless we address it.
It's not large movement.
Not me either.
That's new. I haven't heard of the movement part.
Large movement?
I'm hoping not large movements.
You got different
monoliths.
Yeah, different monoliths.
So you're going to have cracking at the seam, and we need to figure out a way to address that.
Isn't there some way to line it? Can it be lined?
Well, that's going to be part of the study.
Okay.
Figure out ways to see.
Because I know you line waste treatment plant pipes all the time when they start eroding and spalling.
Yeah, that's what was done at John Day for the bypass system there. It was actually
don't even have to
fiberglass lined.
So that's the intent. The intent is
plastic.
To get a better handle on what the problem is. Yeah.
It's smoother for fish, too.
Yeah.
Okay, George.
Okay, Jokic Survival Program.
I'm sorry, before we get out to the corner collector, 28th February will be completed. What? I'm assuming there will be some cycling. Can you comment on it now has a push button. I'm assuming we will open and close it a couple times. What's that window? I'm assuming we're going to open the B2 corner collector up. What type of duration would that be? How many cycles does it need to be tested? What's that? What's it going to look like? Is that like a day type of deal? Or is it going to be open? What should we expect for the operation of the B2 corner collector?
Just what you described, a couple cycles.
A couple cycles.
Open the
court. Send out a memo on that.
I will do that.
I think Dennis might have.
Okay, that's already been sent out, though.
I think
maybe he just went around it internally or something. A couple weeks ago.
But basically, it sounds like a one-day test type of deal, and then it'll be done.
And will that be done prior to 28th or post-28th?
It will be done prior to, but I'll confirm that just to make sure. Okay.
Basically functional by March 1.
Yeah, that's the intent. That's always the intent. I'll spare you folks the bumps and grinds we have to go through.
Yeah, I understand.
to your question, I'll
we could do it all on the 29th. It would be functional.
That's true. But basically,
you have action data.
Yeah, that sounds fine. I just think the B2 corner collector, a lot of people have interest in that widget.
No.
And so just to the extent we can all be on the same page what testing looks like, I don't know what the answer to that is.
Right.
This information is helpful for me just to know, okay, well, when we see a 5K blip for 24 hours on a bill for B2 corner collector, that's within the scope of testing. Okay.
Okay. All right, the turbine survival, program, we should have a DIG document for you guys to review sometime in March. And we're looking to start to look at modeling John Day Ice Harbor and the Canary tail risk issues.
According to Walla Walla, we can't use this model.
We're looking to do that sometime this spring.
Is that part of this March 11, 12 verdict trip?
I think that's specifically focused for the ice harbor unit.
That one's a spill, actually. Well, Lori Dabner is setting that up for spill for Bonneville, and she mentioned John Day and McNary.
I didn't hear.
We're just trying to figure out now, is this TSP or what part? And we know what Bonneville is. That's certainly spill, but I'm not sure about the other two projects. And
this TSP is part of the BIT program.
And that's, so it is that.
Yeah.
Okay, and we won't have time for Ice Harbor because we're not going to be able to do four models in 4 days.
Right. I'm simply stating that we're funding this. We're getting ready to exercise that. That should take place over the next several weeks. I don't have a schedule for that. If you need one, I can do
it. All I'm saying is that if we're going to do some verdict trips, we need to have those scoped out.
Okay. I think they are. I'll just confer with you after, offline here to make sure that we're on the same page.
Okay. Yeah, something I was going to ask Lori for is an agenda for that week.
Okay.
And you know, part of it's the Bonneville spill.
I think what we're talking about is more work than we can do in one trip. And so I want to make sure that we don't have a second trip that we're not, you know, planning for yet.
Gary, that time of year after hours, there's nothing to do. Just go back.
There's nothing better than being at the model 11 o'clock at night, yeah. I tell you.
The big spotlights.
Yeah.
I won't disagree with you. I just want to make sure that we haven't figured
that
out.
That everyone knows that ahead of time.
Gotcha.
Hope you like pizza to go.
Who replaced Schwartz on the team? Was that figured out?
Versich?
Yeah, Versich.
He's going to
fill in.
Yeah.
Well, I know. Is he taking on the TSP stuff?
He does now.
Yes, he does. I think he does.
Do you have those dates already?
Because
I don't think it's on
my
calendar.
In all fairness to John, I don't think he's aware. I'm going to sit down with him on Tuesday.
I thought Mike had talked to him already about that, but maybe not.
So the trip is March 11th?
Well, there is a trip March 11th to go down to look at Bonneville, John Day, and McNary. And I assume that John Day and McNary are TSP related. Ice Harbor is probably another separate trip.
And I'm not sure about Bonneville.
Yeah, and I'm not sure about Bonneville first. I don't think there is any, we're not looking at the tail rates there, as far as I know, at least not for the first powerhouse. We've already done that once. And that's pretty much dictated by sluiceway operation anyway, so.
Well, the upshot there, we're taking the models, on mothballs, basically getting them ready for this trip.
Yeah, right, the models. Yeah, the John Day and McNary. General models.
Right.
Right. Now, then there's also the B2, you're probably going to get there, but the B2 turbine model and looking at operating range for
that's
that.
That's right.
That's another one.
He's only now starting to ramp that up.
Okay.
I don't know if he'll be ready by the time you guys get there.
Yeah, I don't think that's a good idea because I don't think we'll have time for it, and that would be a separate trip where we might actually get Ice Harbor in on that, you know, because there's enough time to do.
Right. I'm just giving you a heads up that you'll start to ramp that up. You'll start to. It takes them a while to get things fully operated.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I understand. I know. I'm in no hurry. It's just it would be nice to have that scoped for so we know when it's going to happen.
Okay.
Calendars fill up early.
Yeah.
So, Tim, did you get that? It's the week of the 12th of March.
Well, and it's for bundle donations.
Anyway,
it's
good.
No, I don't want to go there.
Oh, I'm going to go there.
John's going that week, and I think Bob Wertheimer is also going that week.
I'm asking from the agency. Oh.
I may be. I'm not sure. I'll talk to Gary a little bit.
Yeah. I'll be there.
Okay.
Yeah. I need to take a look at my schedule for the March 11th and that fun stuff.
Yeah.
Isn't there supposed to be like agency-wide support for this stuff?
Well, you for definitely which one? Have us there. You may have more
agency way.
Yeah. That's the usual agencies.
So we haven't.
It was Jason that was always going down there.
Yeah.
Jason was down there a lot.
He had a second family down there.
Right. He lived in the house next to mine.
Yeah. Kids play together. It was so cute.
If there are no other questions on PSP, though, let's move down to John Day. The AV wires, the construction for that should be completed by the end of this month. I don't see any major issues with the AV lines. I think they're working the way they were designed.
Okay.
Didn't you have a redesign issue about the clasps, the connectors, and all that stuff?
Yeah, they put them on tensioners.
So that's all done now?
Yeah, we put cranks out there.
They look really cool. You go out there, you can reach out.
Crank them.
This thing's going to be a tater.
We can tune them.
Yeah, they'll
just
that
need a big pick.
Yeah.
Okay, and then just
need
a big pick. City of Rufus will appreciate
that. Yeah.
Thank you, Scott.
We put some, as was indicated, we put in some devices basically to level out the lines to the prescribed elevation of 20 feet above.
Yeah.
No decapitations.
So that's being squared away.
I'm not going to bring up the fact that
they never
put it up. I'm just going to leave it.
I think I mentioned this to you guys the last time. We're taking the TSW weirs and we're going to make them permanent. Make them a little bit lighter weight so that we can move them around as necessary in the event of an emergency. A couple of stop logs that were, several stop logs that we're picking up. Basically, the intent is to make these TSWs permanent in terms of 30 to 50 years out. So,
okay. Where are you at with that? What's your
design? I think we've got the design pretty much wrapped up. We're still finalizing design.
Shop that out to us at some point.
We will.
I think
there's
yeah.
no change whatsoever to the actual.
Everything looks
itself.
The same. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. I'd still like to have the design now.
The only
it's always good to have as bills.
The only difference that that you'll know is we're making the legs of the TSW a little shorter. Basically reducing the mass.
Yeah.
We're putting different gates on the top as opposed to having one lift gate or a split gate. So in terms of functionality, it'll be the same.
Just be good for us, Dad. I would like to have just the
sure.
design drawing so that when I want to look at it for whatever purpose, research or whatever, you got something to look at. Right on the top, yeah.
We'll do. The intent, of course, is to have the TSW to award a contract for this permanent business here before the end of September. We want to use this year's funds to actually do that. And I think we're on track to do that. The COP, it's still under review at the division. It's
no.
Under review for quite some time.
Well, I think I brought this up at our last, at some point, I don't remember where it was, that given that it sat over there for 9 months or so, and then we had it was updated for 2010, and then the comment I got back in December
data.
Was, why don't you guys just update it for 2011?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think what we kind of decided to do was let's wait until we're done with the performance testing, or at least maybe 12, and then update it.
Okay.
And instead of going through this again.
So the its usefulness for our data mining exercise is probably pretty nil.
It's going to be limited,
yeah.
But we'll have the estimates from the studies.
Right.
So that's where we are. So, and we talked about that, and agreed that's probably let's just go forward with that, and then we're not having to work on an 11
chase,
update for 3 months and then get it to division again, and they do the same thing to us. So.
Quite frankly, I'm not quite sure what we're going to do differently than what's in the COP already.
Well, it'll just be updating it with the research to date, the results, and then and almost hopefully would be finalizing it basically.
Yeah, I think we could say from an engineering standpoint, you're cutting that.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think so. They may maybe address phase two actions, but I think
that's kind of the case, isn't it? Well, phase two is case.
Yeah.
And where's that at?
Phase two?
The case study.
The case study, it was mothballed, basically.
I see you have it on here as an agenda topic, so I just was wondering what.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to put that on the agenda, but basically we took it as far as we could.
Right.
We have some structures out in the field. They're working.
Jordan, I just thought you had an update on it. That's all.
Okay.
What does K's mean in this?
Configuration evaluation. Basically looking at alternatives.
It's alternatives for spillway and walls and all kinds of different things.
At the COP, rapid response.
Yeah, basically, just to answer your question, we looked at a litany of alternatives, and we modeled them. Alternatives included things like the wall.
Between powerhouse and spillway to support
the outfall
RSW flow, and move the outfall. And I don't think we had any four bay mods, did we, or did we? Was there?
We never looked at a wall. No BGS.
No BGS.
Is the skeleton?
Well, we talked about a potential BGS, but we were looking at that after.
Well, yeah.
That was phase four.
Well, that and a powerhouse surface collector or something like that's a possibility if we really have to have something for Chinook way out there. But yeah, that's phase three.
But we felt that it's not necessary. I think that basically we've addressed the problem and moved forward with that rationale.
Okay. Let's see what the performance studies show us.
If there's no questions on that, let's go down to the Dallas Wilderness adult fish ladder study. I think some of you are aware we completed 60% design report. I think you guys have it for comment. I think we'll meet them here next week to actually go over some of those comments, go over some of those.
This is the AWS, right?
That's correct.
Actually,
yep.
Not ladder studies.
Yeah,
it's AWS. Kind of lost us.
When we are meeting, is that
the design team?
Okay.
PDT. You folks are welcome, by the way, but the PDT is meeting next week to look at where we are with this.
Okay, we're in the process of reviewing that right now.
Correct.
I don't know if you want to talk any more about it or not. I've got a start on a letter or a memo to you guys. I talked to Brad about it a little bit the other day. I don't know how far you want to go into it.
As much as you want.
Yeah, I think we're at a good point right now because we have till the 15th to get comments.
Right, for comments out, but it's out there. So
yep.
I was going to talk about it today. Okay. We can throw some things on the table, or we can wait till another date. But I don't know when we're going to be meeting again.
We can. I'm open to it.
Ed and I have had a few discussions about it. Trevor hasn't been too much involved in that yet because I just did most of this yesterday, but and this morning actually I spent some time looking at the alternatives. And first, let me say I'm encouraged. I think we have some viable alternatives that will work. My main concern is that section in there, I don't know which one, I think it's section 2.6.6, which mentions that NOAA has waive the screening criteria. Just to set the record straight on that, I thought we were going to have a discussion about that specific issue. We haven't just blanket waived those criteria. What I've said in the meetings is I think we can come to an agreement on not screening this facility, but it's going to be contingent on at least three points, I think, and we're going to need to look at fish entrainment for one. Actually, let me back up. Let's forget fish entrainment for now. What I want to look at is one piece of critical information is how long it takes a turbine unit to be rehabbed. In there it's mentioned this would be a temporary operation. Well, temporary in some people's minds is a week or a day. This is more like a year, so we want to make sure that it's clear that we may have to run this thing for a year or whatever you guys say is a reasonable rehabilitation time for a broken fish net. So that needs to be in there. As you know, what I'm getting at is risk. So right, we need to be able to say that. Actually, there's four things. So we've got one of them is rehab time. The other one is risk that fish would be trained. Actually, no, back up. Sorry.
Do you want to write this on
I woke up at 2 o'clock this morning, so I'm just working on not much sleep. The other part of it is the risk that a unit would actually, that we would lose two units. You guys have done that.
Right.
So let's get that in there and say, you know, the odds of this happening are whatever they are. And so we have that established. And then there's the fish entrainment potential. So that would be the third item is what, you know, depending on the depth, and we've got this information from the days when we were out there doing 3D tracking of fish. We know the depth of fish as they enter that forebay and all the work we've done for the BGS and all that. So I'm not asking anything that's new here. But and then the fourth item, last item that would be important for this would be an estimate of cost for a screening facility for the 1400 CFS. And that can be ballpark. All I want to say, what I want to be able to say at the end of this is that if we built this screen, it would cost us in the neighborhood of X million dollars. But we have, you know, so that's on one side of the ledger. The other side of the ledger is that it's unlikely to happen. It's of a fairly short duration, and we're unlikely to entrain listed salmonids. I realize there's lamprey issues and sturgeon and all the other things, but listed salmonids in the facility that we're designing, so that we can say, then we can say, given those offsetting issues, we choose to go with the cheaper design, and we would forego our screening criteria. I mean, we're going to have to do that because we're requiring a lot of people to screen these, you know, their facilities for pump stations and such up the river. So it's just like that McNary intake, you know, when redesigning screens for that McNary intake on the South Shore, we're asking them to do some fairly extensive and expensive studies to allow us to basically say, you know, if it's allowable, basically say, okay, you know, forego the criteria, what you have is fine. You know, I can't grandfather something in if it wasn't there before, so.
Well, you know. Heard back what I think I heard. Basically, what I hear you saying is the report has some language issues.
Yeah, that section basically just says NOAA has foregone their criteria. Well, that's, you know, not yet.
Right.
Not yet.
So to follow up on that, what I also hear you say, it's possible that criteria may be waived, but it could only be waived in the context of
1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah.
Right. So if we can develop those, and I know you guys have the information. It's not like we're asking for something you don't have, because I know we have enough information to answer these questions. So I just think that if we lay that out in there, then that's going to allow us to be able to say with a straight face, yeah, we're good. And I know we can say that. I just want to have it written out that way instead of just saying it, because we don't have any record of us having really said that anywhere. If you look at any of our meeting minutes, we've said that, and you know, I corrected Brad on this one in the past, is that we're likely, given the situation, waive the criteria, but we need to have that data laid out for us. So that, and then looking at the three options, you know, looking at that $20 million pump option, I'm thinking, really? But you know, you've got three options out there. So that one's one to talk about. I realize it's tail race, it's at depth, you probably have fewer fish in that location, but also you've got an O&M issue, you've got a big honking pump sitting there that's gonna sit for years and years and years and never operate.
Right.
One of the things I wanted to touch on today with this was kind of what you're getting at, that and George can correct me if I'm wrong, but after that comment period is done, February 15th, we're going to be sitting down basically and narrowing this down to a couple of alternatives. So
yeah, maybe I won't talk about that then now. Leave
right. But so what I wanted to make sure is, you know, during, you know, the next couple of weeks here, be thinking about if you could make specific recommendations on which alternatives you would prefer to see go.
I like to, you know. Right now, I mean, I think that looks pretty good. I mean, I think we need to get deep in the forebay. The siphon, or that one's not a siphon, I don't think, actually, but, and I don't know if anybody else even looked at the report, so I don't want this to be a conversation just between you and me, but, you know, that looks pretty good, but even though siphon ideas look pretty good, other than the fact that I don't like the first one, which is, I think, too close to the surface, because that invert elevation is like 135 or something like that, and that puts, that's the bottom. So the top of that intake is going to be pretty close to the surface, within a few feet of the surface. I think that's too close. But there's this option two, put the invert at a much lower depth. I forget now, it's like a 105 or something like that. Four base, minimum four base, 155. So, you know, that's getting down there deep enough that I think you're probably out of the, out of the vertical distribution of most of the fish, which is something that I'd like us to establish. But... You know, and then so you know, really what I'm looking at, and the other one was actually the siphon. I think that was option 10 or something like that, or 11, where the siphon with an intake very deep, but the siphon took from within a casing further up. Right. But the intake was very deep, and that's and I think that the trash rack spacing. Oh, the other thing too to look at would be the trash rack. You're at 3/4 inch. The fish units, I think, are on a 1 inch. Anybody know that?
They are bottom. They're a 1 inch.
I think they're 1 inch.
Actually,
I don't know the dowels.
1 inch. Slightly smaller than 1 inch.
Right, because it's the width of the bar. That's fine, and this is good. What I want to look at is the entrainment velocity. If the velocity is in the neighborhood of F1, F2, then I think we're in good shape. If it's higher than that, then... You know, you may want to have another couple panels on there to bring it down. But I'd use that as a guideline because we've already studied F1, F2 entrainment. We're pretty comfortable with what we get, what's going on there. And then probably the other last comment, which I haven't had time to really dig into, is what happens. You got to dissipate that energy somewhere as you're going through the system. What's that valve look like? I mean, what's going to happen there? Any fish that are trained in this, are they just automatically dead, because of that valve? Is that like a...
I would assume so.
I think so.
It's going to be messy.
It's going to be a nasty valve. Maybe that's all there is to it. You just have to know that.
It's not all that different than the existing configuration.
For AWSs, or for... Well, the turbines take all the energy out of the existing
room.
And that's probably better than, they call those a Howell Bummer valve or something like that. Those things basically would blow a fish up as they went through it.
But this is exactly like your 1 through 4 risk questions.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, if you're okay with those first four, then you're probably okay with what happens at that end of it, too. They just figured they're dead. But maybe not a good thing, because I'm saying this for salmon.
Yeah.
But for lamprey, that concerns me a bit, because at the bottom of the river, you're out of salmon, but you're probably not out of lamprey depth, and then what happens to those guys when they go through the system? So I don't know, there's a better way to dissipate energy, baffle box, a box or something, rather than a
Well, I'm just trying to think, even if they go through the valve, and they're going to be put in the AWS, they're going to spread throughout the whole ladder.
Are they going to get out of there?
Yeah,
on down.
The fish is pretty much toast, I'm guessing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I just want, it's one thing to put them in there alive, it's another to put them in there dead.
Dead,
Always one.
Those are just thoughts. I'll get all those. I'm working on a memo, and I'll get all that on piece of paper. But
and I was
going
to talk to Brian about because when I took a quick look at it, I was going to say, ask Brian, is there a way? Do we have any information on juvenile lamprey? Because I think it's mostly going to be the ones that you're going to be mostly looking at.
Is it going to be a 5th grade or a 3rd grade?
It'll be about kindergarten, since we have even less data on the juveniles.
All you have is the turbine.
Yeah, no, I was looking more do we know anything about, should we try to not put it on the bottom, maybe 20 feet off the bottom? I don't know.
We need to know more about that, too. That's the problem.
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have a clue.
Right.
And I don't know what I'm worried about is that we'll come up with a great design for salmon, but then it'll get torpedoed by the land.
Well, basically,
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just saying.
The way I'm seeing this again is that, there's going to be some sort of, no matter what you put in there, you've got to get water into the system. And there's
it's the frequency of use. I mean,
it all comes down to this risk notion.
I think if you go through that and you step through it, and you could step through it with lamprey in mind as well, and that should put most people's minds to rest, and we can actually move on, because I'm really encouraged. I mean, a $5 million fix.
By the way, Dave Ward is the guy at HDR, the biologist on the HDR team on this, so he's well aware of the Lambert issues and stuff. So.
Yeah. So I was going to say, and then did you factor in the new fish lock test they did that Corey and those guys just did at the Dalles? Okay.
Yeah, I didn't think about that in there, so that's good.
Yeah, regardless of the system, there's going to have to be changes. I mean, it's routed through the...
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, because I didn't see that in there. I was going to, and then Corey's. Yeah. Corey just sent the email. And says, "Oh, we got a lot better than we ever thought it was going to." It's like, really? Okay.
And we just got a little bit 200 CFS out of that.
And we have 1,400.
Right.
So we got, you know, we're piecing it together.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, it just reduces how much you would need from the system. So you might do something less aggressive.
Look, it's looking promising. We have a ways to go, but it's looking much better than before.
I expect to have it in next year.
2013.
Okay, 14.
Well, consider, I mean, you know, we...
before I retire, yeah.
And retirement date keeps getting pushed back,
As you guys were talking, I kept thinking, this is an EDR, you guys understand that. I mean, this is basically an alternative evaluation.
Yeah, I understand.
And a lot of the stuff you talk about, the elevations and whatnot, that'll come up during the design phase.
Correct.
Hacked off the other stuff that we're not going to look at.
Right.
We just need to focus,
and that's what I want to help you guys do, is, you know, from our perspective, focus on what we think the best alternative is here. So.
And by the way, that's also why, just for the record, that's also why we asked HDR to move ahead, kind of assuming that there wasn't going to be a scenario in which you're going to put screens.
I just like to have that risk analysis in there, laid out so people can understand that and see it, and then, you know, just some wild ass guess of what the cost might be if we had to go down that road, because that's what puts you back to where you are, you know. It's like, okay, that's a dead issue, you know, if you're going to spend $40 million on a screen system.
It's not going to fly. Agreed. So in short, we're making progress, and I think the progress is well implemented. So it's still promising. Any other thoughts? First of all, the AWS
square feet of screen.
Yeah. If not, then let's talk about each way. We're currently in 90% case. That is, report 290% report. We've incorporated a lot of the comments that you guys provided. We can talk about some of those comments. I think they're good comments, but I think they warrant some discussion.
Okay. Question before you move on: Are you moving on from that? Or?
Well, no. I was going to speak to the comments a little bit in general terms.
Okay.
As you guys are aware, a lot of the decisions that are being made for this report are predicated on CFD modeling.
Right.
A lot of the comments that you guys were posing was, you know, how are you validating your results? How are you checking your assumptions? Excellent questions. And the fact is, this is an EDR at this point, and a lot of this is based on prior velocity measurements that are being incorporated into this model that we're looking to validate here in September. Field testing with an instrument to one of the gate wells and basically confirm what we've got is accurate.
Okay.
And I totally buy into the idea that we would as a double check or a triple check or some kind of a backup check, utilize the ERDC model.
Yeah, that was my question. We asked in previous discussions on this that you guys make sure you have ERDC take a look at this EDR. Davidson specifically, and I don't know, has that happened?
That hasn't happened.
Okay.
Realistically, it probably won't happen for a little while still, given that Rory's kind of doing elbows with Bonneville, and Bob Davidson is kind of, well, he's got a full plate with the Ice Harbor
runner.
Yeah, but has
but
he?
But we will do that. We will
I mean, just send it to him and say, hey, what's your thoughts?
Right.
You know, if he's got 15 minutes, he can get through some of it. Just in general, because I know he's been, you know, there's been discussions with him on that. I'd like to get those on the record.
All right.
I don't think it's not going to tell you much more. I think his recommendation from what we discussed is that, you know, we take some look at that 112 model that they, you know, that we already have, and just see if there's potential to modify that. Look at There's a lot of limitations, or I understand that, you know, but there may be some value still.
Oh, there's no question about that. So basically, what I got from your comments was ground truth, heavy ground truth,
right,
your assumptions.
Yeah.
And in some cases, we think we have, but there's definitely need for more work. But this is preliminary, this is an alternative evaluation.
Understand, yeah.
But most definitely, as we move forward, we'll definitely do with the right plan. That's just basically.
But I just want to make sure you get it done before I retire.
Yeah. Where are you talking about?
Thanks, Steve.
Just to restate this.
Whenever Trevor pushes me out the door.
What you guys, the comments that you're making?
Trevor's going to work on the court before you leave.
Apply good science, and that's what we're looking to do.
So. I think if they got my pants opens over here.
I've already tried.
There was also a comment to be
that I heard.
You wanted to be incorporated in the decision-making process for that interest. You're more than welcome.
My fault.
I want to hear what he says.
It's on set. It is.
Words right there.
It is.
I'm just reading through Gary's comments to see which ones were.
Okay. Any thoughts, questions, concerns on B2FG other than what we just discussed?
I would add that the general model is more than just kind of ground truthing. I mean, you can get in there and see something that you don't particularly like too much, and you can make minor tweaks to it and get somewhat of a
the
physical model out of it, or at it,
general
model, yeah. So, I mean, it's more than just proving your assumptions. You can also make minor adjustments. We saw that with the Lamprey stuff at McNary, you know, thought it was going to work a certain way. It didn't quite work that way. Go make some minor adjustments, and wow, that really did what we thought, you know, what we'd hope it would do. So, there's a couple things to its ground truth and its ability to tweak it, which I'm sure you know. But
don't disagree with you at all.
Yeah.
We want to see
that's really what I'm curious about.
Yeah, as far as, you know, we're on board with the filler idea and going through with that, testing it next year, next fall.
Well, since you moved on to that, let's talk about that a little bit. I think we're making good progress. The intent, of course, is to have it advocated this year, this fiscal year, this fiscal and calendar year. But I think it needs to be stated that we won't be able to test it until we've gotten through the, I guess we've got some concerns with the corner collector. I guess there's some issues that we're working through for next year. So it's going to be a while before we actually test it. What we will be able to do, though, however, is we will be able to instrument the gate well and basically test that. I think we have some tie crane issues. We won't be able to install the slot drillers in there in September, October, whenever.
That tie crane's a piece of crap. Just get rid of it. Start it right here.
Go back to what you have.
Oh, God.
So the intent is to fabricate them and let it sit and then put them in place at most opportune time.
When do you think that would be? Next spring? For our next winter?
I'm thinking just prior to the start of the, just prior to the beginning of the in-water work period, this time next year.
Okay. We're not losing a year.
That's the intent. Now that it plays out that way, it's yet to be determined. Again, it's predicated on the crane. It's also predicated on the corner collector.
They're too long for the gantry or something.
Are you guys at BPA
concerned
about this?
As a reminder, we'll be out of service from July through February.
Okay. I said I was actually.
So, why is the corner collector impacting the slot filler
generation of power
installation?
Powerhouse too.
Good question. I can't give you a specific.
Okay.
But it's off and on. I think also you're going to have the fish ladder on the north side. That's going to be. It's going to impact this place.
Fishway is
coming out of service. Mm-hmm.
So you're saying the gantry is not available to help these guys do the work?
That's correct. Starting in July, the gantry crane won't be available.
Why
won't the tie crane be in service?
Because of the piece of junk.
Aside from that, I think the tie crane should be available. The gantry 7, the purple crane, won't be.
Well, I was told that the tie crane, which is what we would need, will not be available. For this.
Because it's going to be the wind will be blowing.
Yeah.
So you don't have any crane at Powerhouse 2 from July
3rd.
Hope you guys don't have the full screens or put them back.
Okay, let's get some resolution on that issue. I'd like to see that. I mean, I can't believe that we wouldn't get this block idea tested this year. That just doesn't make sense.
You know, we're kind of being facetious about the cranes and whatnot, I think it's important for us to get an idea of what exactly we're going to be getting this with those cranes.
Yeah.
What cranes are going to be actually be available?
Yeah, because you guys are all excited about the block idea. We weren't too excited, but now, you know, that's I see that as the step that's next. And I don't want to see that step take years. And I can't imagine BPA or anybody else wanting to run with that powerhouse at half load or medium load.
That's a good option.
That's not going to go forward.
We don't support that option. Well, we had, you know,
I like it, but we don't, it's not going to go anywhere.
It's not a long-term option, but it's a near-term reality. So, you know, as long as we, it is absolutely, we will limit the operation of those units until we get a fix. So, you know, that's there'll be a big battle.
That so somebody will get rolled and
you address me
about that.
I just asked them.
Yeah, but the sooner we get a fix at one of those gate wells, the better off we are, because we don't want to limit the use of those units either. I don't think that's a good fix. I said that in my memo, but in the meantime, we don't want to accept a high potential mortality rate on all the fish going to that powerhouse.
Yep.
All the fish in both the units and in the JBS. So, you know, it's just not a good situation.
Have we
gotten your comments, Gary? I don't know. I think I just sent them to Core. I should have sent them to those two. I mean, that's usually we send them out to the action agency first.
You can distribute those internally and take all the swear words.
Okay, I'll try.
Do you want us to
just get a little salty in there, doesn't he?
What's that?
Do you want us to go ahead and send them to him?
Yeah. Yeah, they can be sent to everybody. I just wanted you guys
to
look at them.
Yeah.
Okay. Yep.
Sanitize them first.
Instead, take out the swear words, and that's for the orifice one, too.
There won't be any comments.
Do a search and replace.
I was embarrassed from there.
I won't tell you what to search for, though.
On the orifice improvement, because there's a relationship there. Good comments. I think that we need to do a better job of using the proper language to make sure you guys understand what we're trying to get at.
Uh-oh. In other words, we didn't understand.
No, I think that it was us. You know, we got together yesterday and we kind of looked at this and we thought we could understand why you read it the way you read it. When we read it, I thought, yeah, it makes perfect sense. That I understand why they're concerned. So we took those comments, and we're incorporating those into our report, making language changes to make sure that we're very clear.
Okay.
Case in point, I think one of the alternatives, and I don't have any in front of me, so I can't say this one in particular, but I know one of the alternatives, the one that came to the surface, was the use of more orifices.
Right.
And I think it was construed that we want to construct more orifices, and that's not the case at all. What we were talking about, and again, we didn't convey it very well, was to make use of the available orifices.
I know. Maybe I didn't make it clear either, but that's what I intended to say, was that we don't support the use of those orifices for anything other than their intended original use.
Okay.
If it put us out of criteria.
Because then it puts us out of criteria at the screening facility.
And you can't adjust for 4-bay.
And then you get into a snowballing effect of fixing all those different things, which could get very expensive, and I don't think that's important. That's the right way to go here. So we were saying, let's step back a bit. Let's look at these plates. Let's look at the aeration issue, the venting. You know, that there's got to be a way to at least improve the situation we have without getting into a complete channel rebuild, a screening facility rebuild, and all those things that could entail.
Well, we agree with you on that. I think that when you start going down that avenue, you're talking about a lot of money.
Yeah,
cascades.
Yeah, I don't want to go that, because it'll never fly. This guy over here will veto it, I know. So.
Well, we'll just remind you how much you spent originally.
Yeah.
I think the premise was to work with what we had and just adjust, tweak what you have.
Yeah, the light ring makes a lot of sense. We're fully on board with the light ring. It's just a matter of how we get that jet free. And the thing we also wanted to get across in there is that we have seen some injuries, and we don't know whether it's directly related to the orifice rings or not. But periodically at the facility, we see beheaded fish cut in half, and they're fresh fish. They're not something that's, you know, rotted and come through a screen someplace. They're, you know, still bleeding, but they're dead. And obviously dead. And that just happens when you have a high density of fish going through the system, and it could be yearlings as well as sub-yearlings. We don't know why, but I looking at those orifices when they sputter like that, and I got to wonder, you know, if a fish hits that at 10 feet, 11 feet per second, hits that edge of that ring. And now the odds of a fish being on the edge is probably pretty slim, but if you have high density, then it becomes more likely. And you know, so there is, it's more than just debris and being able to see that there's debris in there. There's also maybe a situation, you know, it's not going to affect the performance standards, but, you know, we want these things to be safe for fish because they're designed for fish. And if we're cutting fish up in there, and when we have high densities coming through the system, we, you know, it's just one of those spots you can look at and go, it doesn't look right. You know, I don't know, it could be happening on a screen somewhere or somewhere else, but I don't know where and why that would be the case. You know, you might get descaling, you may get fish that are beat up, but cut in half, just sliced in half. That is a bizarre. The only place we've seen that is up at John Day in the past, and that was due to a stainer valve and a chunk of metal sticking out in the middle of the flow. So, you know, broken that stainer valve at the upper end. So that, you know, it can happen. In that case, we found it, we fixed it, it went away. At Bonneville, we don't know. It just keeps happening. You know, some years you don't see it, other years you do, and it usually depends on fish density. So I just wanted to get across the fact that it isn't just that we're, you know, concerned about not being able to see that jet, but there are some, there is some, at least anecdotal evidence, yeah, that there's some mortality occurring there.
There seemed to be some ambiguity of whether or not the issue was from error or if it was from strike on that channel side orifice. And, you know, in some cases it seemed like there was an error issue, it wasn't getting enough air, it was starved for air. And in some issues, even when they gave it air, it seemed like the jet was striking that inner orifice ring. And so I didn't see any alternatives as an option, kind of a cheaper option, is to enlarge that inner orifice ring, or at least pull it off and see if that cleans up the jet, if the jet is just striking that orifice ring. And then possibly, it seems like it'd be cheap to me, maybe not. I mean, I'm just being naive about it, but if you had a larger orifice ring on the inside, and the same on the outside, the same on the gatewell side, just a larger one on the inside, that it would clear that and get enough air to make a clean jet through there.
So you'd have to increase the size of the valve.
Size of the valve.
But, you know, but that's just...
But how much could you increase it from its current size without having to
exactly
change the valve or something,
yeah,
like that?
Exactly, it's kind, yeah, of cheap. Or even changing the valve. Is not,
or just test it first. Just take the thing off there and see if that jet cleans up. And like, hey, there's the problem. You know, striking,
I think
that,
it would.
Striking
it
right up.
Test different orifice ring sizes early on. I think when Eric's still worked.
Eric?
Gedeke?
Yeah, but that's way back. Was that under the...
I thought we tested different orifice ring sizes than we
were. Well, they did change it. They used to be bigger, right? They made it smaller.
They were
original size was 13.
The original size was 13. It was dropped to 12 and 5/8 when we modified the system with a new channel. But that's actually before Eric's time, I think, that we did that. So.
So is the proposal to take it back to 13 inches? Or?
No. We're okay with the 12 and 5/8 on the upstream side. The downstream side, though, the idea is that the way that's slightly larger, that may be 13. Maybe it needs to be 13 and 5/8. I don't know. You know, larger. So that jet, when it's coming through there, especially at low four bays, and it tends to collapse a little bit, will clear that. Because you know how that is. I mean, it's a plate. It's a square conduit, you know, hole in the concrete, and then another plate. And what's going on is that jet's springing through, and then it's hitting the other plate, the inside plate, the plate that's on the collection channel side, and spraying back. And that's why I'm concerned that if there are fish in that periphery of that jet, they may be hitting that plate. I don't know how sharp it is, but something's cutting fish in half in that system. We've never been able to figure out why.
There seems like there's a high potential for injury there. It was eye-opening for me to see how that thing actually worked. I didn't realize it worked like that.
I didn't either. I was surprised. I thought it was just a hole, you know, a tube. But it's not. Yeah, it's like a hole.
It's threads plate. The needle. It has to go right through that hole.
It's got to be, you know, thread that needle or you spray back.
Smack and fish against the steel plate.
Yeah, you should figure out, like, why that's happening.
Yeah.
If it's not just like a, even if it were an episodic thing, I mean, that's kind of bizarre.
But we see that when we backflush a system, which is you induce air into that orifice area and it backflushes debris off of the front plate. When you do that, for some of those orifices, they clean up pretty nice. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, venting is appropriate, and venting is a problem there. And that could fix some of them. And even if we just did that in the near term, it would help a lot, I think. You may not clean up all of them, but you might clean up half of them doing that, which
would be a step in the right direction.
Better than nothing.
We'll go back and take a look again. That's all I have. Any other questions?
Thanks, George.
Okay, thanks, George.
Thank you.
And nice timing again.
And with that, and another exciting thing.
Yeah, so next Fitter Wig.
5 April.
Okay. And I'm going to...
We'll surely move by the time we get there, but we'll put it down like that.
What day is that?
Is Walla Walla on the phone?
It's the day after the 4th.
We have to hit you before we get hit.
I know.
And I'm sure we'll move it before then.
Brad loves to do that anyway. Yeah. It's a target date.
It's a target date.
It's a planning date.
It's a Thursday.
Yeah.
First, I think that's the water meeting.
There you go.
Well, then right the water here. Meeting freaking moves.
That's Rich, you know, Rich now, Mindy's water steering committee.
Well, I'll tell him to move
there
it.
You
yeah,
go.
Whatever.
Yeah.
No, that's a standing day every month.
First Thursday?
Well, is
the date just got moved? Right?
Is
no,
first
it's
Thursday?
Not. I'm not.
That's all right.
Is that from first Thursday?
Second Thursday.
Okay.
It's next Thursday, isn't it?
It's
next Thursday.
What is?
F-bomb.
Lucky us. And on top of that, I'm tired of the security bullshit.
Well, we had a good time today.
There was cussing coming from Brad's cubicle.
It was a lot easier last time.
You guys got all kinds of crazy tags, all that kind of stuff.